In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Do you have a favorite gift that you've ever received? Maybe it was a book that changed your perspective on life. Perhaps something you use often in one of your hobbies. Or maybe something that has more sentimental value than it does monetary. Well, this morning, using St. Paul's words from Romans, I want to contemplate the greatest gift that God has given to us, love. And the word that the church uses to talk about this gift is grace. That is what grace means. It is a gift. Now, the absolute best gifts all have three components. First, they give us something that, left to our own devices, we could not acquire. I think back to when I was a child, and one Christmas I was gifted a Nintendo. Now, on my own, I did not have the funds, nor the ability to drive myself to the store and purchase one. Secondly, the best gifts are unearned. If my parents had told me, "Tell you what, mow the lawn all summer and then we will buy you a Nintendo," that would not have reduced the number of hours I spent playing Mario Brothers. But it would have no longer been a gift. It would have been something that I had earned. And third, a good gift is something that can be used. We might say that the gift becomes perfected when it is used. Think about receiving a coffee mug as a gift. Well, if that mug goes to the back of the cabinet and never holds a drop of coffee, well, then it never lived up to its potential as a gift. So a good gift is freely given, meets a real need, and is something that otherwise we did not have access to. Friends, this is precisely what we have in the gracious love of God, and it is all summed up in verse 8 of the 5th chapter of Romans. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's it. That is the gospel. That is Christianity. Now, sure, if we took a survey of the most well-known Bible passages, the most common answer would either be Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want," or John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might have eternal life." And those are both wonderful and great passages. But even more than Psalm 23 or John 3, Romans 5 is the summation of our faith. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you want the theological definition of grace, that's it. And it has all of those aspects of being a perfect gift. Because St. Paul makes it clear that this love of God, which is the foundation of all things, is demonstrated while we were still sinners. Elsewhere in the reading, we heard the words weak and ungodly. In other words, we were powerless, helpless, without the ability to be reconciled with God. Sin, it makes us curved in on ourselves, unable to stand upright or see straight. And there is no program, no set of rules, no self-help manual that was ever going to get us out of that predicament. Our mistakes, our imperfections, our ignorances mean that, left to our own devices, we are always out of alignment with God's perfect love. But it is exactly in this hamstrung state that Christ died for us. The gift of God's salvation is something that, because of our fallen and mortal nature, we could never get on our own. It had to be gifted to us. And that is precisely what God does in Jesus Christ. He gives us the peace that passes all understanding and all striving. And it's a perfect gift because there's no price tag associated with it. Before any of us were born, before we were baptized, before and regardless of any good thing that we have ever done, or any award that we've received, or any donation that we've made, God had already chosen to love us in Jesus Christ. It was not after we asked for help. It was not after we confessed our guilt. It was not after we made some sort of down payment on our faith. No, it was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. The gift of God's love is perfect because it is given without any regard as to whether or not we have earned it. And that is such good news, because none of us deserve it. And when I say it, that none of us deserve it, we have to remember what the it is that we're talking about. We're talking about the cross. This love, as we heard, is proven in Jesus' death. As we heard, indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person might actually dare to die. Some of us, at our most bravest and courageous moments, might lay down our lives for a spouse, a child, grandchild, perhaps a friend. We see this in the courage of soldiers or in the service of firefighters. But these things make sense. Because of our familial ties or friendships, we will suffer, perhaps even die. For an idea, a nation, or in the name of duty, we will make a sacrifice. But who dies for their enemies? And the word here, it does not mean your rival, someone that you really don't like or have trouble getting along with. The word really means enemy. It would be like running towards the combatant wearing the explosive vest, not to save anyone innocent, but rather to save that person. That's what the love of God does. Jesus did not come primarily to give us an example to follow, or to teach us a lesson, or to establish an institution. No, Jesus came to prove God's love, regardless of the cost, by going into the depths of human sin, experiencing the worst of our betrayal and pain, and dying an excruciating death on the cross. Though the gift of salvation is free, it is not without a cost. It cost God everything that it means to be God when Jesus was left lifeless and beaten on the cross. And that's why it's grace, because there is nothing that we, who are so small and finite, could ever do to deserve the death of the one who created all things. Grace is freely given because God so loves us, and perfect love has no limit. The final aspect of grace being the perfect gift is that it is needed and we can use it. When we reflect on our lives and think about all the shouldas, wouldas, and couldas that start to creep in, grace is a balm for our anxious souls. Because sure, we all could have made some different choices along the way. We could have done this instead of that. We could have apologized sooner. We could have had different priorities throughout life. But none of those things would have made God love us anymore. We would all still be sinners for whom Christ died. The grace of God is that there is nothing on our to-do list, because it's all been done by God. And that's what makes the gospel such very good news. As Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This gift of grace, it doesn't give us more to do. It assures us that all has been done already. The grace that we are given is given freely, and it frees us to enjoy the abundant and eternal life of Christ. There's a church up in New York that has a slogan on their sign out front that says, "Enjoy your forgiveness." What a different way of approaching our faith and life, as something to enjoy, not something to endure or get through or win. But how much of our lives are spent worrying about and pursuing things that we all know, in the end, don't really matter and do not lead to joy or love? How many insecurities do we carry around with us by always measuring up to see how we're doing compared to others? As this verse reminds us, we are all sinners. It's not a contest. We are all equally guilty, and we are all equally redeemed. So we can stop competing with one another. Instead, we've been reconciled to God, and by extension to one another. God has made us friends, though we were enemies, meaning that instead of finding enemies in our neighbors or ourselves, we can find friends of God. And so upon reflection on our lives, if we notice that we are out of alignment with God's gift of grace by still trying to prove ourselves to the world or to others, if we have not been enjoying the gift of life, we can recall those words of a blessing that perhaps you have heard. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk with us. So be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. Now, without the grace of God, that is a command, one that can make us feel shameful or guilty, because perhaps we are not as kind as we might like to be. But in light of God's love for us, that becomes the freedom to focus on the only thing that truly matters and truly endures, love. This is the gift of grace, knowing that we are loved, and therefore being free to enjoy that love by sharing it and using it. Because love, unlike every other resource, is unlimited. Spend it all you like, and you will never run out of love. And that's why the gift of salvation is often called eternal life, because there is no limit to love. It's a gift we can use and use and never run out of. And this gift is what allows us as people of faith to be in this world differently, to live fearlessly and fully in the light of Christ. This hope is expressed in another passage that St. Paul writes in Romans a couple of chapters later in chapter 8. He writes, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the reason why St. Paul's and our hope is so certain and so unshakable is that it is secured by the love of God, which was proven for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not our sins, not our doubts, not our mistakes, not other people's opinions of us, nothing. Well, then we can be quick to forgive. We can be bold to pursue love in our communities, which is called justice. And we can be generous because we know that we have been gifted all that we truly need. God's gracious love enables us to receive all the good gifts that God intends and desires for us. God's gracious love is the perfect gift. We need it. We cannot get it on our own, and we don't have to pay for it. So add Romans 5:8 to those list of Bible passages that you have memorized, for it is the gospel in one verse. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.